The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on the Breakfast Huddle. Well, investors are closely watching out for the Fed rate decision this Thursday morning, and also a bit of an outlook on the economy that it's going to be giving on in its guidance. And the lead up, how should investors position themselves and what should they keep in mind? Let's get a bigger picture from Lee Kian Soon. He is the CEO of Astro Asset Management. Kian Soon, so good to have you back. How was your weekend?
Very good.
Okay, so just going to get your thoughts first to set the context. We have that big rate decision. Everyone's watching out for it. What is the backdrop of the markets and the economy as we head into this potential rate cut? Looking at some of the recent numbers around the U.S. economy and the earnings season, things don't look too bad.
That's right. We saw a nice rally in global equities last month, and markets have started to anticipate about the coming Fed rate reductions, as well as, you know, the US-China has resumed their trade negotiations since the G20. Mm. So, however, we should also note that the global economic growth is actually slowing down. The US numbers is at 2.1%. It's not as good as 3%. And meanwhile, I expect, you know, more bad news to be coming out of Europe, as well as with the coming Brexit. So if you look at all the central banks, mm-hmm. apart from the Fed, other central banks like ECB and Japan are actually pretty limited in terms of the monetary loosening tools that they have. With 95% of the 110 economies predicting a 25 basis point rate cut by US this week, the market may already have priced in, and you will react adversely if Fed did not do otherwise. Mm. ECB has signaled last week they are preparing for more monetary policy measures. But given that their deposit rate is already at minus 0.4%, I don't think there's really much they could do. We will have to watch out for what they say in this coming September.
Okay, so Kian Soon, that's the, I guess, context in the lead up to the Thursday rate decision. What's the picture like for the Singapore economy?
For Singapore, the recent figures released have triggered significant concerns on the economic headwinds that we face. As Singapore has always been an open mm-hmm. and trade-dependent economy, therefore it's more susceptible to trade declines that we saw. Manufacturing, which forms about 25% of the Singapore economy, continues to underperform. In particular, you look at the electronics sector, and the order books are not looking good for the second half of the year, which is typically the stronger half. So although the slowdown in the economy is obvious, based on these leading indicators, we still have not seen a massive impact on employment as well as a significant reduction in retail spendings. But the signs are becoming more apparent recently. So these are the two typical, you know, lagging variables that will confirm if we are going to face a technical recession in the coming quarter. Market will be seeing what kind of economic stimulus policies and measures the government will put in place to assist the small businesses as well as bigger businesses to tide over this challenge.
Helping us to set the context of what investors are keeping an eye out for. So, of course, we've been having this bit of a bull run, the longest in quite a long time. And I'm hearing a lot now from investors about how they are worried that this might come to an end. Now the recession might be on the horizon, and they're starting to cut exposure to the equities markets and starting to sit on cash. Kian Soon, what's your take on their current positioning right now? What should they be doing?
I think it's understandable because the valuation in the US markets has become fairly rich. And in fact, bubbly, if you look at it, they hit all time highs last month and this month mm-hmm. with you know, S&P trading at a price-to-earnings ratio of 20 times, Nasdaq trading at around 30 times. Meanwhile, I think the Asia market still offers better value because Hong Kong, for instance, is currently trading only at about 11 times, Singapore around 12 to 13 times. In terms of setting the context of investors, you know, basically selling all their stocks and waiting in cash, we have to be very careful about whether this is a forward asset allocation or whether this is, in fact, you know, you're trying to time the market. Mm. I think research has shown that, you know, timing the market is really difficult. And, you know, unlike holding your portfolio for the longer term, which usually makes you a reasonable amount of returns, while timing the market is usually trying to go in at the right time, but unfortunately, this often leads to missed opportunities that, you know, when you should have stayed invested. Mm. I think the right approach to think about this is actually, you know, is to do time-based investing and to spread out investment over the longer term instead of trying to really, you know, pull out all your equities allocations, move into cash at this point of time, and then trying to time yourself for the best.
All right, we're chatting with Lee Kian Soon. He is the CEO of Astro Asset Management. Kian Soon, of course, you run the Astro Value Fund. So I'm going to get your help to walk us through how you've been shifting your portfolio or positioning yourself amidst this backdrop of, you know, uncertainties and lower interest rates potentially in the second half of the year? What has been the change in this complex composition of your portfolio?
So in terms of looking at all the geopolitical tensions or macroeconomic events, we realize one thing, right? We cannot control or influence the outcomes. And these are usually unpredictable and short-lived events. It happens day to day. It's going to happen more of in this week, and it's going to happen next month as well. So in terms of positioning, we remain focused on Asia, and we focus on the two big Ds. One for domestic consumption, and secondly, demographics, which we believe are more resilient investment theses for the longer run as our income as well as living standards in Asia continue to rise. For instance, right, if you look at China today, we are all worried about the impact of trade war. Is the consumers remain as the primary driver of China domestic growth. They accounted for 76% of its domestic growth in the last 2 years, and with investments making up the rest, the net trade surplus actually make a negative contribution to China's GDP growth. I think this will be the most essential, if you look at it, consumption for China to stay on track for a growth above 6% in the subsequent years. And I would argue that actually now the world has become more dependent on China as well. If you look at its consumption, China accounted for 32% of global personal luxury goods, 40% of global mobile phone sales, as well as 46% of global semicon consumptions. You know, as long as the disposable incomes in China continue to rise and urban employment remains fairly steady, plus favorable policies being put in place by the government to encourage consumption and personal income tax reductions, I expect these consumer sectors in China will offer a much more resilient and longer opportunity space for fund managers like us to look for, you know, companies with good growth in terms of revenues and profit growing at double digit. And I think this will become a more stable kind of portfolio that we like to manage.
So, Ken, so it looks like that's a top-down view on what the sectors are going to be doing well. But I think in this market, you have to be a bit more selective. Are there any names out there that really stand out and might benefit from the ongoing situation?
In terms of names in Singapore that we like, we're actually holding a stock known as SBS Transit Bus. This is a company that everybody knows because, you know, at any point of our lives, we would have taken public transport, you know, to work, to go to places that we want or for recreation. It's an old name.
That strikes me as a spectacular stock because it's just going to be running buses.
Yes, but there's some interesting situation that happens to this company recently is if you have been looking through all the public transport policies, is all the assets are actually being acquired by the government in these new policies. In other words, SBS Transport no longer owns the assets for
infrastructure
as well, as government actually has acquired all these assets. They became an operator of transport services. And SBS Transport, a lot of them still think of them as bus services. In fact, they run the North East Line as well as the Downtown Line.
Okay. Again, so just to wrap things up quickly, what are you avoiding keeping away from?
I think the thing that we like to avoid are large IPOs or new concept companies with basically no earnings. As we observe that this listing merely becomes a means for VC or PE funds as well as the founders to exit. In Hong Kong, we have witnessed significant price reductions of some of these new concept names, basically with no earnings after their listing, and especially when the initial lock-in periods are over. So we observe that the listing of some of these companies are in fact at a valuation that is lower than their pre-IPO levels. This is a huge concerns, and I think investors who like to jump on this form of sexy IPOs euphoria should watch out for the risk.
I love these growth companies trying to IPO, so something to look out for. Thank you so much for your time today. We've been speaking with Lee Kian Soon. He is the CEO of Astro Asset Management. Kian Soon, thanks and have a great
Thank
day
you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.